Good to have everyone here this evening. We're going to start with number 77. If you're going to use in your book, glorify thy name. If you'd like, you may stand.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
Seated. Sing number 71 next. Number 71, As the Deer. We'll sing number 221 and 222 before the opening prayer.
Amen. Let's bow. Our Father and God, we're indeed grateful that we have this time that we can assemble. Thankful, Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy, the opportunities we have to come together and worship, to advertise meetings, to go to other meetings, to certainly to worship Thee in every way possible. Realize, of course, Father, there are many in the world that experience persecution. Certainly people in many parts of the world. Father, I just ask that You'd be with us as a congregation. Help us to find ways to reach out and teach others and do it in a way that we can certainly show our love for them and our desire to encourage them. Father, thank You for those that enjoy good health. Realize, of course, there are many that do have continuous health problems. Mindful of many of these that in our bulletin are announced from time to time, and daily comments from Tim. Certainly be with these, be with those that have had recent surgeries or those scheduled for surgeries. Certainly mindful of those that have lost loved ones recently. Father, I would ask you to be with Nate tonight as he preaches and breaks the bread of life to us. Grateful, Father, for his willingness to desire to go into preaching the gospel. Certainly pray that his studies will be rewarding and it will not be long before he'll be able to graduate and perhaps go to a congregation and begin preaching and teaching Your will. Father, we're mindful of those in leadership, the congregation. We're mindful of our elders. Ask that You be with them, their families. Mindful of others, Tim and Tim Haywood and Josh and Greg, Mike and their work. Grateful, Father, for many others that work in this congregation in a variety of ways. Help us to use our talents, Father, in Your kingdom. Continue to bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're using the book and like a mark, the song of invitation will be number 934. 934. We'll sing number 881 before our scripture reading and lesson this evening. If you'd like to stand again, let's go ahead and do that.
881.
I want to go.
The scripture reading for tonight will be John 3:16. John 3:16. I will be reading from the ESV. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Central. We're glad you're with us here, whether in person or joining online. A big thank you to our visitors that are here joining us as well, whether in person and online. And a big thank you to our elders and Tim Hall for allowing me this opportunity to preach this lesson this evening. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. A gift, eternal life. And a price had to be paid for that, which was Jesus Christ. Now the best things in life are free, it's been said. Gifts are often some of the most memorable things we have. And all gifts, by definition, are freely given. It means to give without reciprocation. However, just because a gift is freely given does not mean it was free. We often have to purchase a gift to give it to someone that we love, or a friend, or a family member. Likewise, these gifts that God gives us has that same price, his son. And in order to receive all these gifts, God requires we follow the pattern that he has laid out in the Bible. So tonight, I hope you'll look with me in your Bibles. I don't have any slides. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit. So I apologize for that ahead of time. But we're looking at three gifts that God gives us. We're going to start with the gift of his word. Then we're going to look at the gift of his church. And we're going to look at the gift of his salvation. Starting out, I'll be turning over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. So the word of God, the Bible, the truth. God gave us this gift that we might know everything that we need to know. It was penned by human hands, authored by the Holy Spirit, as we read in 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What else is the word? Is the sword of the Spirit as well, as we see in Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now this sword is not made to lop off heads. It is made to prick hearts, to cut to the heart of everyone that reads it. It's a living word. It is a powerful word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you'll turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It reads, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now this living word, this powerful word, is also eternal. In Matthew 24:35, we see that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus speaking there. This word is truth. It's a gift of truth. What did Jesus say to those believing Jews in John chapter 8? Over in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, we find this account. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's one of my favorite verses right there. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in who you believe. This word is also authority. It contains authority on doctrine. Nothing man-made can ever trump what the scripture says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this gift of the word is also a gift that must be practiced. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. This is not a gift that just exists. We have to constantly be searching this word. We have to be doing the word and the work. James chapter 1, 22 through 25 reads, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Finally, this gift brings faith. It brings faith. Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, in these words, we can find an abundance of God's gifts. The next gift we're looking at is his church. Most, if not all of us here today, are members of the church. But what is the church? The church is truly a gift of God. Look around you today. I can see it in your faces. Hopefully you can see it in mine. We're here for each other. We support each other. But what makes it so special? First, it is made up of all those who have followed and obeyed the truth, which is found in the Word of God. It is the body of Christ made of many members. 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." And Romans 12:4-5. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." It is one body where all are welcome. Colossians 3:11, another one of my favorite verses. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." And it is headed by Christ. Colossians 1:18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." So what benefits do we gain by being in the church? We kind of see how the church is. We see that all are welcome. We see that it's the body of Christ made of multiple people. We see that it's headed by Christ himself. But what benefits do we have here? What do we have in this church? Well, we have support. We have love for each other. We bear each other's burdens when we're down. We have fellowship. We have unity. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God." Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." It's support, it's love for each other, it's bearing one another's burdens. We have these gifts, these additional benefits of being here together in the church. We also have fellowship and unity. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 reads, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but of exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." 1 Corinthians 1:9 also reads, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." In Philippians 2:1-2, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One of the last benefits it gives here, I also really enjoy. It's an amazing book, the Bible is. It truly is a gift. James chapter 5:16. It gives us a sense of accountability to each other. I'm watching your back and you're watching my back. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And also to go along with that is Romans 14:1 and Romans 15:1. These four verses here, they complement each other very well. 14:1, as for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. And Romans 15:1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, in 14:1, these opinions are not doctrinal issues. These are not doctrinal issues. This is like the color of the wall. Green versus tan, yellow, blue. If you are a stronger member and you are surrounded by a weaker member, you have to help the weaker member. We have to watch out for each other. That's one part of being a Christian. It's one of the benefits of being in his church is that we all work to help each other and benefit each other, exhort each other. And when we start straying, to help pull each other back in out of love. Now, my next question here is, how does one get in the church? Now, not the building. We know how to get in the building. We've got some doors over there, got a few doors here. We know how to get in the building, the church building. But how does one get into the body of Christ? We must enter it through another gift he has given us, and that is the gift of salvation. It's the season. It's Easter. This is when the majority of the world is thinking back to when Christ was crucified. And we need to use that to help get more people in here and help them see the amazing benefits we have in the gift of his word and the gift of his church and the gift of his eternal salvation. So the first portion of the gift of salvation is eternal life. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. If you'll turn with me there. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Told y'all we'd be bouncing around a little bit. 27 through 30 reads, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand, or out of the Father's hand, correction. I and the Father are one. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony that God has given, keyword given, us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Backing up a little bit in 1 John 5, 11 through 13. He who has the Son also has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. Very simple logic there. For me, if you have the Son, life. If you don't have the Son, no life. If you have the truth, you're free. If you don't have the truth, you're not free. Another gift in this gift of salvation is a new life here on earth. We're no longer in darkness, but in new life and new light. We're called to be new creatures. Turn over to Romans 6, if you would, with me. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Ephesians chapter 5, 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And also 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, but you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are meant to be children of light, not children of dark. We're meant to walk in this newness of life in Christ Jesus, who died for us. We're supposed to die in his baptism and be raised up again in newness of life, just as he was. Now, the salvation, this gift of salvation is also rooted in truth. There are many traditions out there, but the Bible is the truth, and Christ is also the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6 reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid out before me. And we must seek this truth, as Proverbs 23:23 states. Buy the truth and do not sell it. And also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is how we get into the church building. Not the church building, correction, the body of the church, the body of Christ. That is how we attain this gift, is through him. As we come to a close, there are far more gifts in this book that we can find. The biggest challenge I had with this sermon, and I was up till about 2:15 this morning working on this, is figuring out which gifts I want to do this on. And I chose these three just because I chose these three. Be perfectly honest, I really enjoyed studying this. Now, God desires all men to accept this gift, right? 1 Timothy 2:3-4. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all men to be saved, everyone to be saved. And then Acts 17:30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all men everywhere to repent. The times of ignorance are over. We are accountable for ourselves. As 2 Corinthians 5:10 states, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And like all great gifts, there is some assembly required with this gift when we receive it. Turn over to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2. This is when the church was established, the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the first gospel sermon there, and the result was 3,000 people were converted. We'll start in Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick up around verse 37. Let's see what these people did to join the church after that first gospel sermon. And it reads, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart and said, what shall we do? That sounds like belief to me. That they are believing the words that Peter and the other apostles are saying here. Down verse 41, we read, those who have gladly received his word. Gladly received it. That means they have taken the steps to bring it in, and now we must also follow those steps. They have to repent from what they were doing. 2:38, repent and be baptized, and let every one of you be baptized. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confessing, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we see down in Acts 2:41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then finally, verse 42, they continued steadfastly. They continued to live faithfully. They continued to follow this. So my question tonight for you, will you choose to accept this gift he's offering? Will you follow the pattern for salvation that God's living word gives, the same pattern that they did at Pentecost? Have you sought the truth and heard it? Have you believed the truth? Have you repented, meaning turning away from sin and going towards God? All my fifth and sixth graders can say that one. They know that one very well. Have you confessed that he is who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he came and died for your sins? And then finally, are you ready to be baptized into him, to walk in newness of life with the hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus, within the church, alongside your new brothers and sisters who are going to be with you every step of the way? I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for my best friend's dad, who offered when I was 12 years old to start taking me to church with them. That's how I stayed in the church. If you're at any of these points, reach out to me, reach out to the elders, reach out to anyone here. Let's study together, and let's get you through all these points. This gift has a lifetime guarantee. Revelations 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, eternal life. And brothers and sisters, if you have this gift and are struggling in any way, then come forward and repent and let us work with you and pray for you. And if you don't feel like coming forward, that's okay. Reach out privately. If it makes you uncomfortable coming forward, reach out privately. Don't let coming forward and being in front of people stop you from this. Regardless of your needs, let us now stand and sing the song of invitation.
You may be seated. If you do not have a communion cup, if you raise your hand, one will be brought to you. At this time, we're going to offer the communion for those who were unable to be in church this morning or online. And we'll do that while we sing the first and last verse of number 313, O Rugged Cross.
Amen.
Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. While we're turning there, go ahead and prepare your communion cups. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up around verse 23. For I received from the Lord Jesus, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the body and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let's take a moment to prepare our minds, and then we'll go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Father, thank you for the gifts that you give, that gift of salvation that would not be possible unless his body was broken for us. As we partake of this bread, let's do so in a worthy manner as we remember that sacrifice. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go to our Father again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come again once before you, asking that you be with us, Father, as we prepare to depart from here, and help us to remember your Son's sacrifice every day. Let us remember that blood that was shed on the cross that washed away our sins, Father, and let us partake of this cup in a manner that is worthy to you. Forgive us our many sins, in Christ's name, amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. It's also at this time a matter of convenience that we also observe the offering. So let's go to our Father in prayer for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you've blessed us with, all the material blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Father, we ask that we be good stewards of this that you've given us and give it back to you as appropriate. Father, thank you again, so much for all that you do. Be with all those that are sick and suffering, Father, and heal them if it is your will. Father, be with us as we go about our daily lives. Let us glorify you in all that we do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'll sing the first and last verse of 463 before we close. If you sing this song different than I do, then that's okay, because I never sing it the same way twice either. So let's stand together and we'll try to sing this together.
Nathan, thank you for reminding us about a few of the gifts that God has given us, that he's so richly given us. So thank you for reminding us about that. Let's speak with our Father in prayer. Father, we love you. We know that you love us because you sent your Son. There was never any doubt, and he loved us because he gave himself up on the cross. Your love is unquestioned. May you teach us to have that same kind of love to everybody around us, that we love like you do. When we think about some of the gifts you've given us, grace and mercy, oh, you have blessed us richly. And what do we say to that? Thank you for all of your gifts that you've poured out abundantly, not only on just on us, your children, who are trying to live the way you want us to, but actually on everybody. You don't want anybody to perish. You want all to be brought home. Help us to have that same heart for people that you have, that we want everyone there, regardless of who they are. And as we live our lives this week, teach us how to be both peacemakers and spokespersons for you, that your light is shining through us, that they may see you. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I was not given any announcements, and that means have a great week.